I thank the Lord this afternoon for the blessings that He has already given us today. And I desire your prayers as consider something that's on my heart this afternoon. I watch how people go. People come and go, you notice? I watch what happens, and sometimes it really weighs heavy on my heart, burdens me, concerns me greatly when I see the enemy taking advantage of souls. Remember, I'm reminded of a minister years ago. He said, "We're saved, but we're not safe. Not any of us made it in yet, and none of us know what we're going to face before we get there." So it tells me that we truly do need the Lord. We need Him greatly. I do. I feel it so much more. I'll read four verses here in Romans, the 15th chapter. Then I have some things to share. Romans 15 and 1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." I believe I heard something about that a little bit this morning. "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." I appreciate that little verse right there. Things that were written aforetime, that have been handed down to you and I, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I have a hope this afternoon that the enemy is trying to destroy. I have a hope that's founded on Jesus Christ, the solid rock, the sure foundation. But yet, the enemy is still trying to destroy that hope. And he works against me and you in every way that he can to do that. I am saddened when I see folks allow discouragement to bring them down. Discouragement, you've all heard this, is probably one of the devil's biggest tools. He won't come against you with the things that you probably have gotten victory over sin in the areas of those places in your life, but he'll work at you in other ways. And he'll work at you subtly in ways that maybe you can't even see or don't even realize what he's doing. But Lord, help us this afternoon to understand that we are fighting a foe, and he is a very formidable foe. Discouragement. When we become discouraged, we probably have all been discouraged from time to time. When you become discouraged, I want to consider just a few thoughts about that. We temporarily lose our perspective. When you get discouraged, things don't look like they once did. We're not as positive about things as we once were. That's a sign to us right there that the enemy is trying to bring discouragement. He wants to change the way we look at things. Change the way that we see things, even to the point of where we begin to question our faith and what we believe. That's what the enemy does. You know, Don't ever underestimate the bold enemy. He's the same one that took Jesus out into the wilderness and tempted him. And Jesus was tested by this same enemy that you and I are fighting today. All he wants to do is bring us down, destroy us. He has no good within himself. All he wants to do is make our lives miserable and in the ultimate end of things bring us to our souls to destruction. One thing I noticed in times of my discouragement in the past is that the little things look big. Even changes the size and the shape of my trials. The little things, it really don't mean a whole lot, but the enemy builds them up and makes them look great and big. And that helps bring on more discouragement, doesn't it? When the task looks too great and it looks too big for us, then we get a little more discouraged because we say, I can't overcome that. I can't conquer that. And really it isn't all about any of us conquering anything. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We can only conquer through Jesus Christ. He's our hope today, and I'm thankful for that. The little things. You've all heard about the little walking along down a gravel driveway. I've done it myself. Get a little piece of gravel in your shoe. Walk on that for a little while. Pretty soon it starts feeling bigger and bigger, doesn't it? It magnifies it. Isn't that what the enemy does? He begins to magnify things. When he presents himself to us, he magnifies it, making it look bigger, feel bigger, making it look like an obstacle that's too big to overcome. He magnifies those kind of things. No wonder Paul said in Corinthians to bring our thoughts under the obedience of Christ. When I'm discouraged, I lose my motivation. Motivation is drained away. And just take a little something that's hard that comes along and the thoughts of quitting come to our mind. I've had them, folks. Down through the last 30 years, I've had them. The enemy comes and brings doubts, he brings fears, magnifying things, and the thing looks so hard that then he begins to present the thoughts. Why don't you just quit and give up? I remember driving home from, I don't know if it was Guthrie or Shawnee, Oklahoma one time. So sleepy. Driving by myself along the highway. Couldn't hardly keep my eyes open. Should have pulled off the road, but didn't. And I'll never forget the thought that came to my mind. So why don't you just close your eyes and go to sleep? While I was driving, the devil will try to kill you. If he can. He'll try to kill you. He'll talk to you in every way that he can. Just let a little something come along that's hard and it begins to crush us down. What he's trying to do is crush the life out of us. Folks, we have life in Jesus Christ, don't we? We have hope, we have life, we have peace, we have joy, and the enemy's trying to crush the very life right out of us. Think about the fellows, the disciples that were following Jesus over there in the 6th chapter of John, and he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. A life comes from Christ, doesn't it? It comes from eating His Word. It comes from the drinking of the cup of the Holy Spirit and allowing it to permeate and grow and develop and make you and I strong that we can hold true in these hard and difficult times. I don't know where any of you are right now in your battles or your trials, but I'll tell you one thing. If you're on the mountain, you need to have mapped it out real good how you got there because you're going to be going up there again someday. We get up and we go down, don't we? We fight life's battles. The hard things come. People disappoint us. Things disappoint us. Didn't go the way we thought they were going to go. And the next thing you know, here comes the devil to throw his 2 cents into the mix. To cause us to get discouraged. If we'll let him. When Jesus told those disciples, eating my flesh and drinking my blood, they didn't even comprehend and understand what Jesus really meant. And it said from that time, many of them went away. Folks, I can only say for myself, and I trust it is for each and every one of us, that when we gave ourselves over to the Lord, we have made a determination and a consecration and a promise to God. God, I'm going all the way with you regardless of what comes my way. Now, that's a bold statement. That's a very bold statement. And the devil will hear that statement, won't he? But folks, I want to tell you, God will hear it too. And he said his grace was sufficient for us. And I gotta believe that that's true, that his grace is sufficient. That he will bring me through those hard and difficult times. And folks, when I go through those hard and difficult times, I cannot afford to have a so-so experience. A so-so experience. I thought about mediocrity, being mediocre. Folks, when in this profession, of professing godliness in through Jesus Christ, we can't be mediocre about it. We've got to put everything in this because this is our life. This is our portion, folks. Told you one time not long ago, I said, when a heart of a child begins to beat in a mother's belly, that child is set for eternity. That life will go through eternity. So we're all going through to eternity. And we're going to live throughout eternity. And so we need a determination, and we need courage, and we need grace. And that grace all comes from God. We need to stand on that commitment that we made to the Lord. You know, sometimes we, in the times of emotion, when maybe in a service, the Lord's dealing with us to make a consecration on something or a commitment to God, folks, those times come under feelings. But when the hard test and trials come, the feelings are not there. We're going to have to stand by that. God's going to require us to stand by that commitment, to stand by that consecration that we've made to God. But he said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So may the Lord help us today. We have someplace that we can turn to. We can turn to the Lord. We can turn to the Word of God. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Oh, I've gotten my comfort from the Scriptures so many times. So many times I've turned to the Word of God. So many times I've had questions about things. Things in life, things that other people have done, things that other people are doing. So many times I've got questions, but I have a place to turn to. And I can turn to the one that knows and understands it all. He knows and he understands it all, doesn't he? I find that the Scriptures provide me a place of safety. I feel it's safe. There's a lot of books out there. There's a lot of good books out there. But when I'm reading in the Word of God, it's safe. I can trust it. And I know that it will be there to support me when I go through these times that I've been talking about here this afternoon. Folks, the place of safety, the place of protection, the encouragement I get through the Scriptures will dispel the fear and the doubts. It will drive the enemy away if I turn to the Holy Scriptures, the comfort of the Scriptures, that we might have hope. Of course, if we don't apply them to our lives, if we don't accept the instructions, it ain't going to do us any good, is it? Lord, help us to accept the instructions of the Scripture. And with that said, I want to read again the first verse. We then that are strong ought to bear. Ought means what? Duty bound. We then that are strong. Paul said in another place that you and I that are spiritual are to lift up someone in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves. Because we're just human too, and we're fighting our battles too. Then we that are strong ought to bear. We're duty bound to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The brother was telling us this morning, it's not all about me. It's not all about us, folks. There's other people that are hurting and they're going through hard and difficult places. Life doesn't treat everybody the same way. It doesn't treat everybody the same way. Things happen that we don't understand. Things happen that just absolutely, practically suck the very life out of us. Things that we never expected to happen, as this folks that was mentioned here in this meeting today. Never expected that to happen. A tragedy. Tragedies happen in this world. But folks, whatever happens, all I'm trying to say here this afternoon is we've got to be determined and have it settled that no matter what. And it's so much easier said than done, I understand that. But first, don't let yourself get discouraged. Don't let the enemy come in and blow up the picture. Don't let him come in and enlarge the things that you're, the trial that you're going through. Realize that it's a trial that God has allowed to come your way, and just submit it to God and be willing to go through it by His grace, that when you come out on the other side, you'll have growth and development and you'll have victory in your soul. When you come out the other side. I think this verse here implies that you and I that are strong are morally obligated to take the initiative to bear, to help bear the pains, the trials, the infirmities of those that may be a little weaker than we are. We have that. We need to be working with each other with the support that the other one needs. If I've got my head all into myself and oh, woe is me and everything that I'm going through and I can't seem to get the victory over it, and my brother and sister over here are going through something twice as difficult as what I'm going through, I'm not going to be able to do them any good. I need to be strong. I need to grow up. Paul said, quit ye like men and be strong. Folks, we're living in hard times right now. We're living in perilous times. That was read this morning. We need to be strong. We need to not let these little things get us down. We need not to let the enemy come along and cause us to get discouraged or trip up over this little thing. You know, sometimes he makes things kind of blow up in your mind. I was my brother one day. I don't know what this got to do with it, but I remember my brother one day. He was complaining about a knee that was hurting him. And I said, what happened? He said, it's a old football injury. I said, I don't remember you playing football. He said, I didn't. I tripped over one. Folks, no matter how the injury comes, no matter what it is that comes our way, folks, we got to get over it. We got to get past it. And by the grace of God, we can get past it. And we got to be determined that we're going to do it. We cannot give in to discouragement. Whenever you see things looming large over you and looking bigger than something that you can handle, you know it's the devil trying to come in and bring discouragement upon you and trying to trip you up. I don't want to see that. There's a danger. It says, let everyone please his neighbor for his good to edification. There's a danger of us withdrawing into ourselves. There's a real danger. Don't draw into yourself. And you know, I was thinking about something the Lord gave me a long time ago. Accountability. Brother, let me tell you, if you're going through something and you need someone to lift you up and they don't know it, go to someone that you have confidence in. Tell them, I need your support. I need your prayers. I'm going through something really hard. I do it. Folks, it helps to share your burdens. It helps to have your burdens, to give part of them to someone else and let them pray with you and let them pray for your encouragement and be your support. We need one another. It's in the book. It's in the song book. We need one another. And he said, we then are that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Sometimes people, folks, go through things and their facial expressions don't change. You can't tell because you're just looking at them and you know they're going through something. Some people you can, but not everybody can you tell just by looking what they're going through. Lord, help us today to be strong in God's grace. It's going to take every one of us leaning heavily on the Word of God. Let's lean on the Word, the comfort, the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, that we might have hope. I want to look at the familiar Scripture in James, first chapter. I'm interested this afternoon that we stand strong in discouragement. Don't let discourage, didn't that one scripture say we're discouraged but we're not in despair? Don't let it turn into despair, folks. The enemy can just wreak havoc with you when you allow it to turn into despair. When people get in despair, they do things they ought not to do. They do desperate things, don't they? When they get in despair. So I want to avoid that. I want us to get the victory over discouragement. James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I was talking to an old sister years ago out in California. She quoted that scripture and said, count it all joy. She said, can you count it all joy, Brother Abbott? Folks, that means that if I can count something all joy, that I realize that whatever it is I'm going through, I understand that God meant it for me and He meant it for my good. He meant it for me and He meant it for my good. When you fall into different temptations, different tests, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Folks, I want to expand that just a little bit. If there's any lack that you see you have, ask it of God. He will give it to you liberally. He will supply your needs. When Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs, he wasn't talking about just temporal needs. He will supply all of your needs. If there's fear there, if there's doubt there, if there's things that you're struggling with in any size, shape, or manner, you seek God for it, and he said if you ask him, he'll give to you liberally, and he doesn't change. And he doesn't change. It'll be given to you. So he said here, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I skipped one, didn't I? Sixth verse, let him ask in faith. I sure don't want to leave that out. Nothing wavering. What does that mean? Ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't show any indecision to the devil. Don't let the devil see that, well, I'm a little undecided what I should do. I'm a little undecided at how I should handle that. That's wavering a little bit. If the devil senses that you're a little weak here or there and that you're struggling with that, he'll take advantage of that and he'll take it another step farther if you're not careful. So he said here, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't waver. Don't show any indecision here because you've determined in your heart that no matter what it is that you've fallen into, you're going to trust God with it. You're going to put it in His hands, and you're going to let Him work with it. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Waver means to vacillate. Not sure what to do. Questioning maybe how I should handle this. Folks, there's only one direction that you and I can successfully go in living for God, and that's forward. He gave us the armor of God to put on the front. And we can face the devil with the whole armor of God because we got it on the front and we're going forward. We're not going to turn around and we're not going to run. There's no armor back there, but it's right here in the front that we can face this thing head on. Nothing wavering. Not vacillating in any way, shape, not questioning what it is that I should do. With that said, I ask you the question, how do you handle pressure? Each one of you know how you handle pressure. How do we handle pressure? Nothing wavering. Folks, I know that we all have pressure in this world. I know for a fact that when you go out, the brethren, to go do a job, it doesn't go always the way that you want it to go. I know there's a lot of things that we struggle with. I didn't work 30 years for GM and not learn anything. I learned that there's things out there that don't go just the way you thought they were going to go. I know that in building, and I know that in whatever you, the trades and whatever you do, and the sisters, folks, every day you get up and you think, well, I'm going to face another day. It'll be just like yesterday. No, it won't. No, it won't. There'll be something new, something different, sometime that's going to come along and you're going to say, where did this come from? And the devil's going to be right there. Why don't you just quit? Why don't you just give up? You see, this thing is too hard. They preach that we are to live a holy and a godly life. You see how hard that is. You can't do it. Why don't you just give up? What about my consecration? What about what I told the Lord when I gave my heart and my life to Him? Don't vacillate, folks. He went on to say, if people that do that, don't let him think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. See, we gotta hold true. Hold our position. A double-minded man is unstable. Unstable. A double-minded man is easily changed. He's easily upset. A double-minded man is unreliable. I'm bringing this out and I hope that we'll get a hold of a little some of it here to realize these are the ways that the enemy works on our human nature. This is the way that he works on each and every one of us, no matter who we are. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how to work with us, folks. Double-minded man is unstable. He's fickle. You know what fickle is, don't you? He's fickle. He's changeable. He begins to question his decision to stand where he is standing. Folks, we can't change. No matter how hard the trial is, we can't afford to change. God has deliverance for our victories over hard trials. I didn't say that right. God has victory for you and I to get victory over our hard trials. He's got that for us. And if we're in this condition that he is pointing out here, of being unstable, of being fickle, of being wavering, we're just not much good for the Lord, are we? We really can't do much for him. If we find ourselves in those places, guard your mind as you guard your heart. That's good counsel. Guard your mind as you guard your heart. Because I tell you, the enemy comes along and the way he presents himself. Have you ever gone about a day and you felt like the dark cloud was following you everywhere you went? I have. You probably have too. The enemy, there's some days he won't give up. He's relentless. I have to say, I don't have any use for the devil today. It saddens me to see what he's doing with some folks. But you and I are going to have to be strong. We're going to have to be faithful. Remember, those of you that are regulars here, remember the thermostat and the thermometer Christians? You know, some people kind of fly by the seat of their pants, so to speak. I'll deal with it as it comes. Instead of being prepared for it before it comes, you can get prepared for it before it comes, folks. Some people are like thermometers. Their happiness and their joy goes up and down with the things that they're falling into. It goes up and down with the trials and the tests. That's the way thermometers go, hot and cold. But folks, you set that thermostat. You've all got one in your houses. And it keeps it at the same temperature. No matter what things get like outside, whenever the summer's coming on and it's starting to get hot out there, this old boy will have it on probably 68 if I can keep her from looking at it. I'll have it down there where I'm cool. But no matter how hot it gets outside, it'll stay at 68, won't it? If the air conditioner can keep up, that's what you and I need to be. Thermostat. Christians. Count it all joy. Well, Lord, here's another trial. Lord, here's another test. But I don't intend it to let it take my joy and my peace. I'm going to turn to the Scriptures. I'm going to turn to the Word. I'm going to turn to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to draw my strength down from God that I can get victory over this thing. Because you're going to bring me through on the other side. How do I know that? He promised me he would. He promised he would, folks. We got some promises. And he's going to be with us through it all. Through it all. I thank the Lord for it. You know, a couple of experiences here. Remember when the army of Israel was so afraid when Goliath come out there and was threatening? Send me a man over here and let him fight me. Whoever wins, the other one will serve the other. And they standing over there trembling, fighting men. Standing over there trembling, but they didn't know God like David knew God. They didn't have the faith that David had. They didn't have the courage that David had. But he's already fought the lion and the bear. So now he's going after the big hunter. He's going after the giant. And David went out there and slaughtered the giant in the name of the Lord. Folks, you don't do it yourself. You do it in the name of the Lord. That's the only way you're going to do it. The only way you're going to overcome is in the name of the Lord. I think about tough trials. You know, I've had some tough trials. But I've never been asked to take my son and take him out on a mountain and take his life and sacrifice him back to God. Never been asked to do that. That's got to be tough, doesn't it? That's got to be a pretty tough assignment. But Abraham, the man of faith, the man that believed in God and he hoped against hope. When everything else looked like it was overwhelming and there's no way possible that he could have a child, he believed. He believed. Lord, help us today. We can do it by the help of the Lord. If you want to, you know, we can do it by the help of the Lord. I'd like to look at another scripture, probably my last one here. Best I can remember. Luke, the book of Luke, the 14th chapter. Be encouraged, saints. Yeah, the devil has things designed to discourage you. He does. Every one of us. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Now let's read a little bit here what Jesus says. Luke 14 and verse 25, "And there were great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Well, Lord, that's pretty tough saying. You're telling me to hate these people? And I know the scripture doesn't mean hate. The word that was used here was to love less. To put me first. The Lord always wants to be first, doesn't he? But there must be a forsaking. This is what Jesus is teaching here. There must be a forsaking of the things that will hinder you and I to get the victory when we're going through the hard and difficult places. We can't have excess baggage hanging on and trying to get the victory over something when our heart or our affections or our desires are holding on to something else. If you're going to come after me, you got to hate your father. Love them less. Mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, and your own life also. In other words, you got to be like Paul was. I go bound in the spirit, not knowing the things that are going to befall me there, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't move me. It doesn't change me because I don't count my life dear unto myself. I've given my life to God. We heard, well, it was read this morning, some of the things that he faced, some of the things that he went through. And he did it willingly because he didn't count his life dear. He had given it to God. Folks, you count your life dear, it'll hinder you. It'll hinder you in your trials. It'll hinder you in your hard and difficult places. There must be a forsaking of those things that are in our hearts, deep affections that are of this world. We've got to put them aside, folks. And we need to keep consecrating and consecrating until we're able to do it. Because that's the area right there where the enemy can take advantage of each and every one of us. Do you know the eagles? My understanding, there's probably others, but I understand that they can soar in the sky to some of the greatest heights of any bird that there is, the eagles. They get up there where the air is thin. They get up there where the air is pure. And they're not weighed down by a lot of excess baggage. Or they couldn't get there. They get up there and they soar. Lord, help us to soar above the level of mediocrity. Yes. Help us not to be mediocre about this. Help us to be strong about this. He said, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, you can't be my disciple." You got to bear your cross and go after him. I guess maybe for some people, maybe for all of us, it comes down to how bad do you want him? How bad do you want him? I'm like Brother Ed and some of the other fellows say, I'm desperate to make heaven. And if I see something by the help of the Lord, if I see something that's hindering me from making the proper decisions or going the path that Jesus wants me to try, I'm going to get victory over it one way or another. I'm going to keep seeking God. I'm going to take up and bear that cross just like Jesus bore his cross. Which of you now? Which of you intending to build a tower setteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. In other words, folks, it brings a reproach upon the cause of God When anyone starts out to live for the Lord, makes their big testimonies, whether it be minister or saint, whoever it is, and they start out, and oh, this is such a wonderful way, and I'm so happy, and I'm so joyful, and then you come down to something hard and difficult, and discouragement sets in, and it brings a reproach upon God's very cause. You're telling people God can't keep you in that time? God can keep us, Lord. Folks, God can keep us. The Lord can keep us. But we've got to free ourselves from the fetters of materialism. Folks, that's a trap. It doesn't say it like T-R-A-P, but it's a trap. People are into the materialistic things of this world, things that are drawing them, holding them back, and when the hard times come, they're not able to overcome because their love and their affections are set it somewhere else. You can't be divided. You can't have the world. The Bible tells, Jesus tells us that. You can't have the world. You can't have mammon and have Christ. You can't do those things. There must be a committal to a standard of excellence to work and labor to see the kingdom of God flourish. That ought to be our real desire. Do you know, I think there's some folks, I just like to tell them, you know, you need to get more of focus off of you and more on the kingdom of God. Because this is what it's about. When I set out and make myself a disciple of Christ, that I intend to follow Him, it isn't about me anymore, it's about Christ. It's about bearing my cross and taking it up and seeing the kingdom of God flourish. That's what I want to see. That's what my burden is, to see the kingdom of God flourish. Today, it seems like there's a lot of folks that are satisfied to blend in with the majority. There isn't very many magnets that I know of much stronger than peer pressure. Our young people deal with this very strongly. Peer pressure. Someone telling them, oh, you don't have to do it this way, or you don't have to do it that way, or that's just what old brother Larry said, or somebody else said, folks. Peer pressure is a strong magnet. And it'll pull you right away from the cross. It'll pull you away from the cross. Don't be satisfied to blend in with the majority. I think about the majority. I thought about when God told the children of Israel, when they got into the Canaan land, He told them, the Canaanites would be all around you. Just want you to be aware here now. When you get into the land of Canaan, they'll be all around you. They'll take over if you let them stay. And He told them to destroy them, didn't He? Get rid of those folks because they're going to be an influence to you and they're going to destroy you. They'll be all around you. They'll take over if you let them stay. They'll draw you into their lifestyles. They'll have you following after their gods. Isn't that what God told them? Yeah, He did. That's what God told them. And you know what? They didn't destroy their enemies and they did exactly what God said. Isn't that amazing how God understands and knows the nature of humanity? He understands those things. It's getting more rare, it seems to me today, those that will fight against the pull of the mediocre magnet. It's like a magnet. It pulls people away. Folks, once discouragement sets in and it starts a feeling good and you want to hold on to that good feeling, I'm going to tell you something. From experience, it'll keep pulling you right on down just like a magnet. It'll pull you right on down and the next thing you know, you'll have lost your joy, you've lost your peace, you've lost your spirituality. Next thing you know, your desires are not to the things of God, but they're to the things of the flesh. That's what happens. It's the same old thing. It's been going around and around ever since Adam and Eve. Hasn't changed. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Same old circle. Here's another one that says, 31, oh, what king? Going to make war against another king, setteth not down first, and consulteth whether to be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now I see two areas here that I want to point out. I've already pointed out, but I want to make it clear that brings discouragement. And that's holding on to things. Holding on, having affections where they shouldn't be. And getting careless with your spiritual walk with the Lord. Sometimes people just get downright careless. And they don't recognize the signs. And they don't see and understand what the enemy is doing to them. My heart goes out to these folks, dear ones. I was very struck with the song that the brother called, "When with abundant store, or in deep poverty, when all the world may smile, or it may even frown on me, when it shall help me on, or shall obstruct my way, still shall my heart rejoice. I am the Lord's today." I appreciated that song, Brother Gary. "When I'm safe at home, or in a foreign land, when on an ice-bound shore, or on a sunlit strand, when on the mountain height, or in the valley low, still I know he doth care for me. I am the Lord's. I know." It's wonderful to know, isn't it? I remember probably first or second year of my ministry, so it's been quite a while ago, Lord gave me the thought, "I know." And I said, "Lord, what am I going to do with this? I know." I tell you, he began to build on that. Sometimes he gives you a skeleton and he starts putting some meat on it. And he began to build on that, and that was, I still remember, that was about, 27, 28 years ago? That was one of the most blessed messages that blessed me to know. It's wonderful to know. I am the Lord's. I know. He gathered us together as well as a hen would gather her chicks. All we got to do is let him. He'll hold on to us. He sees the sparrow fall to the ground. How much more valuable are we? Folks, we really, we're in this old human flesh. And we get discouraged, but we really shouldn't stay there very long. We really need to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. You give me grace, you give me courage, you give me strength, and I'm going on. I ain't giving up. I'm not going to quit this thing because I haven't made heaven yet, and I want to make heaven." He said here, "So likewise," verse 33, "whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be." He cannot be my disciple. Forsake means to literally renounce or give it up. Give it up. Give it up and go for God. A disciple should live in constant readiness to put their means or their life at his disposal. Because that's who it's all about. It's about this blood-soaked Savior that we talk about. That's what it's all about. And he went on to say, Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Disciples who do not act like disciples. In other words, can I say it this way? Verse 35, they're worthless. They're not even fit for the dunghill. They're worthless. They're for the trash heap. But men cast it out. So I'll leave you with these thoughts. Jesus places a premium on perseverance. If he can see that you're trying, he's going to help you. If you give up and allow the enemy to come in and consume and take over, there's very little the Lord can do with you. Don't give up. He places a premium on perseverance, on sincerity, and on diligence, and on your energy Godward. We need more energy Godward today. God is looking for quality. I remember when this little congregation was even smaller than it is now. Brother Donald was our pastor. I'd been ministering a few years under him, but I remember when he said, "We don't have quantity, but we got quality." God's looking for quality, folks. If you and I are going around down at the mouth, discouraged, and have lost our hope, we're not any benefit to anybody else. How can we help someone else? God's looking for quality. He wants quality builders for the church. Quality builders. You go out and have a house built. You don't want it built shabbily. You don't want it built by someone that don't even know what a level is or how to use one. You want quality. The Lord's looking for quality in each and every one of us to build his church. He's looking for quality builders, and he's looking for quality fighters. Didn't Paul tell us to fight the good fight of faith, that we might lay hold on eternal life? Looking for good fighters. I think quality builders and quality fighters, they cost a lot. You pay a little bit more for a quality builder, someone that comes with a good recommendation. These people do quality work. That's what we want. That's what the Lord wants. That's what he wants in his kingdom from each and every one of us. So I want to encourage you this afternoon as you deal with life. It's life. Life happens, they say. And as you deal with it in the right way. Don't let it overcome you. Don't let it get you down. I know about darkness. I know about how the enemy comes in like a flood. I know about those things. Been there. But don't let it get you down. Because we have someone that was mentioned in Sunday school, greater is in he that is in you than he that is in the world. Keep the Lord, keep him right by your side, folks. Keep him right in your heart. Because you're going to need him every day. Amen.